जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्रशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रयम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకొండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి So today, because it's Prabhupada's appearance day today, so what we'll do, we'll have a class till 3 o'clock. It's 1:30 now, so till 3 o'clock we'll have the Bhagavad Gita class. And then after that we'll have a Pushpanjali to Prabhupada, and then after that Vishnu will make an offering to the deities, and then we could have a small talk about Prabhupada. For if anybody wants to speak can speak, but I will also talk about few things. And then after that we'll have a prasadam. That's the program today. So hopefully we'll finish everything by 5 or 5:30 like that. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీతి నామిని వృషభానవిదేవి కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిదా శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంత ద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయ దే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామిని శక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపానుగవరాయ తే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమః वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च फलिदानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशास्त्रियम् हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते सुरतौ भाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमतेर्गति मत्सर्वसपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमन्द्रादा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवो प्रेष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशी वटतटस्थिता कर्षान्वेणुस्वनेर्गोभिर्गोपिनाथा श्रियेऽस्तु नाः सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुदे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Last few classes, we were talking about this important verses in that 8th chapter. Two important verses where Krishna talks about how we leave this body. That's the main topic that was covered in that, isn't it? How we leave this body. Krishna mentions there, at the time of death, whatever thoughts comes in and it will, whoever be the most powerful thought, that will take over the situation. And accordingly, that thought will drag you, Udana Vayu will pull the soul along with that thought to the next body where it will continue with its activities. That's what that verse is saying. Andhakaleja mameva smarante tva kalebaram. Yaprayadi samalbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. Krishna says there is no question about that. He says it very categorically, he says there. Yadi nastyatra samshaya. There is no samshayam about it, no doubt, he says. And then immediately we also saw the next verse which mentions there that those who have not gone that way, that that who have not left that body, he says there, yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam. Whatever thought that comes, he says, tejatyande kalebharam, he leaves the body. Tam tam evedi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. So those two verses are very, very important. Very important, because death is so precisely Krishna defines there in those two verses. After this in the Bhagavad Gita, when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, same Vedavyasa Maharshi who gave us Bhagavad Gita, he wanted to bring an example in the Bhagavatam. How these things in practical, how it happened. And that is what that Bhishma's departure in the Bhagavatam is to show to us how it happened. So many interesting things. If you study Bhishma Stuti, you will understand that how Bhishma prepared himself to leave the body, which we talked about also. He mentions there that the in Mahabharatam that that when Bhishma was lying down on the bed of arrows, isn't it? Bed of arrows, he was lying there. 58th day after the war, 18th day the war was over, on the 58th day, Krishna came with all the Pandavas and great sages, Dhaumya, Vedavyas, everybody came together to where Bhishma was lying. And Bhishma was lying there, and as soon as Bhishma knew that Krishna had come, Bhishma says to Krishna, "I knew why you have come." He says, "My problem is solved," he says. But there are certain interesting things in that incident, what happened at that time. There, Vedavyasa Maharshi, what he did, he says to us, if you have to leave the body, learn from Bhishma. How to leave the body, he says. If you want to leave the body in this world, how to leave the body, you should learn from Bhishma. He mentions that because all the sages who came after Bhishma's departure, they were going to their ashrams. Oh, Dhaumya, Vedavyas and many others who have come there, they were all going to their own ashram. And they were talking to each other about it. Just like we also do, isn't it? When we go to a festival, when we go back, we'll talk about the festival, how the feast was, or how the kirtan was, things like that. But here, the interesting thing was, they were talking about the death. That is interesting. And they are saying there that if we have to leave the body, we have to leave it like this. They were praying that we have to leave the body like the way Bhishma has left. We don't know what will happen at that time. So if you want to know how to leave the body, this is the perfect example in the Bhagavatam, bringing this Bhishma, only for that purpose, that it was brought inside. If you look there, you will see in the 8th chapter, it mentions there,
First
Canto, 8th chapter, 1846. He says, even Vedavyasa Maharshi could not understand the plan, Krishna's plans. Nobody understands Krishna's plans. What Krishna's plans are, nobody understands. Vedavyasa Maharshi also could not understand. He says here, Vyasadhyay means not only Vedavyas, all the other rishis also, all the other great sages, they also did not understand what Krishna's plan was, the purpose of coming here. They did not understand. That's why it says here, Vyasadhyay Ishwarehajnyay, Krishnena Albhuta Karmana. Albhuta Karma is Krishna. Things what you cannot think about, it will happen when Krishna wants that to happen. So it's mentioned here that although Vedavyasa Maharshi and others instructed Yudhishthira, because Yudhishthira had the problem, isn't it, with the war, that I have killed so many people. This was, I am responsible for that, kartrutvam in Yudhishthira. Like Arjuna had kartrutvam and Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna escaped from that problem, isn't it? Arjuna's problem was, I am going to kill all these people, my relations, my friends and my spirit teachers, everybody is going to get killed by me. That's not a very nice situation. And then Krishna spoke to him Bhagavad Gita and then he came out of the problem. He was able to fight the war. But now after the war was over, our Yudhishthira Maharaj has the same problem. He is thinking that I have killed all these people. So Arjuna asked Krishna to talk to him Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna did, but didn't work. The same problem for both. For one patient it worked, for another patient the same medicine didn't work. Bhagavad Gita should have worked but didn't work for Yudhishthira. So therefore Yudhishthira, Krishna asked Yudhishthira that you don't trust me anyway, isn't it? He says to him, you don't trust me anyhow. But will you accept if Bhishma says that you are not responsible for this war? Immediately Yudhishthira says that you killed him as well, didn't you? He said, blamed him for that also, put the blame on Krishna for that. So Krishna smiled and told him, no, he's still lying there, he hasn't left yet. He said, he's still lying on the bed of arrows. Ah, okay, let's go there then, he said. And they all together as a group went to see Bhishma there. So when he got there, when Bhishma saw Krishna, he says, Krishna says to him that now that you have come, my fear has gone, he says. Why did he say like that? Because, therefore he says here, Bhishma, with a lot of attachment, he says to him, so you have come to cheat me, haven't you? He says to him, because you actually want to talk to Yudhishthira, but you are using me as a tool. Through me, you want to talk to him. That's the whole purpose behind it. Andaryami, isn't it? Inside Bhishma, inside Yudhishthira, inside everyone, Krishna is present there. So Krishna wanted to speak to him through Bhishma, says to him, and you are coming and standing in front of me for that purpose. Also, at this time of death, you wanted me to remember you. Therefore, you have come. And he mentions there, if you look into that verse, you will see Bhishma's giving up the body. He says there that Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyade Kama Karmabhi. Please note of those words what Bhishma has used there. He says, Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyade Kama Karmabhi. He says there. In other words, that if you leave the body in remembrance of Tejan Kalevaram Yogi, Yogi who leaves his body in remembrance of Krishna, that is verse 23 in the 9th chapter, 1923. Bhaktya Vesha Mano Yasmin Vajayan Namakirtayan Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyade Kamakaram Abhi. He says, whose mind is in bhakti state, in the bhakti state, and who chants Krishna's name at the time of death, and one who leaves the body in that way, he will not get any desires from inside at the time. Desires is the whole problem. Some desire, if it is inside, sangalpam or imagination inside, it will take the form of a desire and it will come out at the time of death. Any desire, doesn't matter what it is. Either you want to become a millionaire or something else. Doesn't matter. Whatever desire it may be, it will take some form and sangalpam, vasana will come out at the time of death. And that thought will drag you into the next body. So, Bhishma is saying there that Bhaktavesham anoyasmin vachayam namakirtayan, that if there is proper bhakti inside and if there is holy name on the tongue and if he leaves the body, Tejan Kalevaram Yogi, if he leaves this body, Muchyade Kama Karmabhi, he will not have any desires will pop up and no karma will result from that. In other words, Kama Karmabhi. That means, Kamam is the first thing and from Kamam comes Karmam. In the chapter before, Kunti Devi also said the same thing, isn't it? What did Kunti Devi say? Kunti Devi says, if you look into the chapter before that, Kunti Devi says to Krishna that that she says that that at the time of death, yes, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smarana arhani karishya nidhikechana. Both Kunti Devi and Bhishma are saying exactly the same thing. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. These two things, kamam and karmam. Kama means desire. Karma means the action that follow from that desire. So if you look into Kunti Devi's prayers, also you will see the same thing there. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. 1835. She says the same thing. And exactly Bhishma says also the same thing. You have to note these words very carefully because these are very important references about the situation at death, what happens. Kamam, some kamam or desire will come from inside. And then because the desire has come, you will have to engage in karmam for that, which means you have to accept a body. We have to link these with the Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Only then you will get that connection properly. Krishna is also saying the same thing, isn't it? Krishna is not talking about karma in the verses. What Krishna says there is, yamim vyabhi smaran bhavam, he says. That smarana, memory inside, what is at the time of death, that will decide the body. Bhishma and Kunti Devi is saying a little bit more precise about it, saying that there will be a desire inside, and in order to fulfill that desire, you need some karma to perform, therefore you have to go into another body again. Kunti Devi is saying here, Kunti Devi is saying, Bhavesmin klishyamananam, avidya. Avidya is the reason behind it. Ajnanam, ignorance inside. Avidya, because of avidya, kamam, desires inside. And because of kamam, karmam, followed by that. Avidya kama karma bhi. For them, there is only one hope, she says. Shravanam, smaranam, arhani, karishyaniti, kechana. Therefore, you have come so that we can talk about you and hear about you and remember you all the time. In that way, we will escape from this kama karma bhi. That is Kunti Devi's verdict. Our Bhishma Pitamaha is saying here, in a little different way, Bhaktavesha manoyasmin vajayan namakirtayan tyajan kalebaram yogi muchade kama karma bhi. Both are saying exactly the same thing. Bhishma is saying there, bhakti is there, there is proper bhakti inside. Manoyasmin vajayan namakirtayan. If you are remembering the holy names of Krishna, if it comes out from the mouth, and then what will happen? Tyajan kalebaram yogi. If the yogi or a devotee or a jnani, whatever it is, it's the same thing. Yogi, all refer to yogi. Tyajan kalebaram yogi, muchade kama karma bhi. He doesn't have to come back again. There is no kamam, there is no karmam after that. Saying that, Bhishma left it like that. And after saying that, Bhishma says to him that if it happens that way, this kamya karma means karmam attached with kamam. And it's called kamya karma, isn't it? Remember, Prashna also mentions in the second chapter, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano. Kamam, or that desire inside, is the that vasana will all go away from inside. But what is the problem? What is the problem there? There is a problem here. Bhishma is asking that, what is the use that you are standing outside? What good is it to me? Bhishma is saying, you are standing outside. That already I am feeling severe pain in my body. Because wherever you put the hands or legs or body, it's all on the arrows, you see. I am lying on the arrows and the body is feeling painful. And if I close my eyes, thousands of thoughts are coming through inside. Thousands of thoughts are coming through inside. So, if because it is like that, those thoughts are coming, it is possible that one of them will take control of me, although you are standing outside. For Bhishma, Krishna is standing outside, and Bhishma is saying to Krishna, in spite of that, because I am in such a state now, that some thoughts will, if I close my eyes and trying to remember you, some thoughts may come from inside, therefore it is no use, he says. Imagine that. He says like that. Therefore, remember what Bhishma said to Krishna very next verse. Sadeva devo bhagavan pradikshadam kalebaram yavadidam hinomyaham prasanna hasaruna lojano lasal mukhambujam dhyanapada chadurbhujaha. Krishna is saying to Krishna, it's no good if you stand outside, you should come from within. All everything is happening inside, not outside. We think that extent, that is why this verse was specifically put there to make us understand that if it is not happening inside, it is useless. And Krishna standing right in the front, he is saying to Krishna, that is no good to me, come inside, he says. From inside you come out. How? In the four-handed form you come out. That is what that verse. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratikshadam kalebaram yavadidam hinomyaham prasanna hasaruna lojano lasal mukhambujo dhyanapada chadurbhujaha. That is why that verse has come straight away immediately after that. Bhishma should have been satisfied with that, isn't it? Krishna has come and stood in front of him. But Bhishma says, no, that's not good enough. Because he knows the problem. In order to teach us, Vedavyasa is putting this here, that just to think that don't make it external, make it internal thing. If it doesn't happen from inside, there is no guarantee. There's no guarantee that. Therefore, Bhishma, because he knows that science well, he says to Krishna, it's no good standing outside, come from inside. And he tells Krishna, how do I like to see you? Sadeva devo bhagavan pratikshadam kalebaram yavadidam hinomyaham prasanna hasaruna lojano lasal mukhambujam dhyanapadam. Dhyanapadam means in my thoughts, dhyanam, meditations. In my meditations, chaturbhujam, that for the 400 form, let that appear. That's Bhishma's statement. Bhishma is asking Krishna that please come inside and give me that, because once I get that, then I am covered. Then I am covered. Then there is nothing to fear about, because then there is no other thoughts after that. That once, so even at the time of death, even if we may not be able to do all these things at the time of death, we won't get that opportunity, which is pretty sure. So what can we do then? Today, when we have good health, sound health, or some presence of mind, today we should say to Krishna that at that time I may not remember you, but today you can tell him that, because you have got the way how Bhishma has done that. Today you should say to him, at that time I won't remember you, you have to remember me. You have to remember me. I cannot remember you, because you know very well what will happen at that time. There will be nothing there. It will be completely a difficult situation. Body, all parts of the body will be giving different, all faculties will fail one after the other. And if you make any plans and all that, this nothing is going to happen at that moment. Something else will happen. And before you know what you have planned and think about it, you're gone, left this body and gone to another body by then. Soon it's happened, isn't it? So therefore, this is why Vedavyasa has put it in the Bhagavatam, this Bhishma Stuti, in order to tell us, only for one reason, to tell us how you can prepare for the death. How you can prepare for the death. So we may not be able to do it like the way Bhishma had, because Bhishma had, Krishna has decided to go there and talk to Bhishma. And Bhishma had that opportunity to say to Krishna directly, but we won't have all that opportunity. All what we have now is this opportunity that we know from Bhishma what can happen at the time of death and what can be done today about that. When death comes, that Krishna has to come from inside and save us. Like those two verses we saw, Andhakaleja Mameva, if you keep it in your intelligence or brain and memory and all that, nothing will happen. First of all, brain won't be there. Memory also won't be there. Nothing will be there. So what use is keeping there, thinking that I'll do this, I'll do that. Nothing will work. The only thing that can work is if Krishna decides to come out from, to come inside and make it work, then it will work. Otherwise, it won't work. If it didn't work for Bhishma, what chance others are going to work for? So that's the main important point in that Bhishma Stuti. It's a very important message Krishna's, Vedavyasa has talked to us. And then he says to him very clearly, you should stay in my Dhyanapatham. Dhyanapatham means my meditations. You should come in my meditations. Not stand outside, he says. Not outside. Because if you stand outside, the mind can flicker and go somewhere else. And I could forget you. You might remember, in the 18 days war, Bhishma has fought with Krishna. Isn't it? He has really given hard time to Krishna also in the battlefield. So all that he hasn't forgotten. But you have to come, he says to Bhishma, says to Krishna, you have to come into my Dhyanapatham. Dhyanapatham means that meditations, in my meditations. And you should pull my mind out of this, of the other thoughts, and you should give me the meditations. You should give me the Dhyanam. You have to give it to me. I can't have it, he said. Then it will work. So many, many Mahalpas who knows these principles well, they have left the body in this way. They have left the body in this way. They know very well. Because they know the science, how the soul leaves the body. Once it's, they know that. Because jnanis and realized souls, they know how the soul is leaving the body. And they know at the time of death, so many thoughts will come from inside. So many thoughts will come from inside. So, so this has happened in many, many instances. So, here, so, because it is like that, that the sankalpam, sankalpam means these imaginations, what we have, they will come at the time of death. They will come at the time of death. So, sometimes what they do, some great yogis, what they have done this also, that when they know that somebody is leaving the body, they will keep their hand on the chest of the person who is leaving the body and ask them to close the eyes and make sure that other sankalpams don't come in to them. That's possible for realized souls to do that. They are in a position to do that because they have the same capacity like Krishna has in these things. They know how to control from inside that their other thoughts don't come up inside. So they can put their hands on the chest and told them to close the eyes. And some instances it has happened, it has worked, some instances it didn't work. Because sometimes what happens that some thoughts will come and suddenly you'll open the eye. At that time all these things are out of control, isn't it? It happens like that. So all the sankalpam or these thoughts that comes, not to allow them to take birth or not to allow them to come out is a difficult thing. So that they stay inside the heart, they don't come out from there. And how to keep those sankalpam in the heart, that is what Krishna is going to say in the next few verses. When such a sankalpam comes inside, how that sankalpam should be kept inside without allowing them to come out, that's what Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses. He says here, now when we go through those verses, you will definitely ask the question, is this all practical? That will be the first question. But all I can say about that is, practical or not, if it happens, let it happen. But can only happen if there is Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy. But because it's in the Bhagavad Gita, I have to say this and you have to hear it. So, after hearing all these things, you will at least come to one conclusion that only one thing you have to do. What is that? To completely depend on Krishna. There's nothing else you can do about it. The process is so complex inside what happens at the time of death. So, after studying the whole Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna going to say to us at the end? Sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam. So that's exactly the same thing what's coming out even now. That's exactly the point here. The next few verses are difficult in the sense that is, you may hear and you may realize that it is not very easy to carry out in the life, and that such a thing will happen at the time of death. But Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavad Gita, so I will talk about that. At the same time, after hearing that, you have to only take it in this way, that if by Krishna's mercy, if it is becomes practical, fine. If not, we'll have to leave it. And that Krishna is also going to tell us the same thing, that everything we have to study. We have to study and we have to know. But after studying and knowing everything, the only thing what we have to know is only one thing. What is that? My cleverness is not going to work in this. That's all we have to know. That's the only thing you have to know. Me being clever is not going to work in this one case. Everywhere else it may work, or it may work sometimes, may not. But as far as this death is concerned, me being clever, organizing and planning and managing, it's not going to work. That will be the realization from that. So that is the only reason we are studying this, only for that purpose. Only to know that my cleverness or smartness won't work in this case. So because by doing that, that means what? With my false ego, I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. After knowing that, what do we have to do? We have to poison that false ego. That's all you can do, isn't it? So what is that poison? Poison is this, that I cannot do it. And that firm conviction inside that I cannot do it, that we have to become very firm about it inside. I cannot do it. I just cannot do it because it's not in my capacity. That firm conviction has to develop inside. Not that sometimes maybe I can manage it, and if Krishna wants to do it, fine. Not like that. I cannot do it. Completely to surrender and to accept that truth, that will happen by studying the next few verses. That's the idea behind it. In order to surrender, surrender is not easy. We all say surrender, isn't it? But surrender is not easy. We as long as we have that false ego inside, we will always make plans. Our own ideas will come out. Maybe we should do that. That's where all the other ideas are coming from. Buying flat in Vrindavan or Mayapur or things like that. And this is all coming from that false ego is dictating from inside. Nothing will work. It's all misreading. But because they don't understand this process of death properly, like the way it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, they are simply taking it. It's just a mechanical process I could do, and some arrangements I can might go to a hospice or a devotee's hospice or hospice, is it? Hospice, yeah. Devotee's hospice if I go, or if I go and lie in a hospital which is run by the devotees, devotee doctors, Prabhupada's tape is playing there, prasadam is fed everybody, I may escape. No. No guarantee. Anywhere, no guarantee. The only guarantee is what Bhishma is saying here. That's the only guarantee. Bhishma is saying to us, as he said, Krishna is standing there and he is telling him, this is not good enough. What more can you say? He's saying to Krishna, it's not good enough. Come inside, he says. Because inside is the problem. Problem is not outside. Whereas we are so used to the world outside and thinking that everything can be sorted. Isn't it? See how subtle the whole thing is? So that is what has happened here. So only thing we can do, that we ourselves have to get convinced first that it's not possible by us. That is the most important thing. We ourselves have to convince ourselves by my own effort it's not going to happen. That's all expected from. Once we are convinced that way, then you will immediately surrender to Krishna. Because then who can do it? Only Krishna can do it. Nobody else can do it. That conviction is more important than anything else. Then you will stop all the plans. You will not make any arrangements for death. You will carry on in this world as Krishna has put you, whatever position there it is, you will stay as it is, but be prepared inside that if Krishna wants that, that is surrender. That is the surrender. Surrender is that if Krishna has put me in this situation, when Krishna will decide what is good for me, and if he wants to take me out, that is surrender. Otherwise, it's not surrender. Everything else is ego. It's just false ego inside. You can see how we ourselves make this mistake all the time, isn't it? Thinking that I will do this arrangement, that arrangement. People are feeling happy that they've got all sorted out everything. and you can't say anything because you don't know where they've gone. So what can you say to them? So and here, it's not good enough if it's convinced by brain. It's not convinced by brain, it's not good. Brain, everyone has an intellectual conviction. When I say this, you also intellectually you will accept it. No problem. Intellectually you can accept it, but that's not good enough. It's not intellectual conviction. It is the, what is known as the realization inside that is what it is. So, everybody will say that in the world, isn't it? What can we do? People will say, what can we do? Everything Krishna is doing. And on an intellectual level, we will say like that. Similarly, when you praise somebody, they will be happy about that. But when you, that's on an intellectual platform. But that center inside, it still will say to us, if I'm not there, how things will happen? that ego will come out and start dictating like this. Then sometimes people say, oh, they'll know when I'm not there, how things are going to happen. So that is all intellectualities, completely intellectuals. Because you can see, when you have to get operated the hand, say one finger has to be operated. So if you have to do the surgery there, they will only do the anesthetic on the hand. They don't have to do the whole body, isn't it? Only at the locally they can do the anesthetic. But there's no need for making the whole body anesthetic, isn't it? Similarly, in order that this false ego has to go from inside, and the false ego has to know its weakness, you have to give the injection to that false ego. False ego needs to be injected. No point in injecting on the mind or the senses or the intellect. It has to be injected on the ego itself. The injection has to go. When will you know that it has worked? Because either one possibility is that in life you have suffered a lot, suffered heavily in life due to various problems in life, and you have struggled very hard, and finally you realized it, that it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that way your ego will crumble. It will break up. Otherwise, the other alternative is through sadhana, yoga abhyasam, professional yoga system, sufficient thought power, studying shastram, deity worship, meditation, puja, dhyanam, japam, all these things you do, and finally you will know that you can't do anything. That is also other option is also there. Either through suffering in life, and then you have fought against everything in life, and everything collapsed and didn't work, and you realized your own situation, you are convinced inside, I can't do anything about it. It is in Krishna's hands, and saying hats off, both hands up, and saying to Krishna that I can't do anything about it. You do whatever you like. That is that time you can say that your ego has got that injection. Ego is feeling that. The other alternative is through the process of studying shastram, jnana vijaram, bhakti, puja, dhyanam, and japam, everything, all the sadhana and the other processes, what we all do, and then finally knowing that I can't have it in spite of all that. I won't get it. In either way, that ahankaram or false ego has to crumble within. It has to crumble. There is no other way. When it crumbles, this realization will come inside. So, where it crumbles, when it crumbles, then at that place where it happens there, from there is a very, 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 a stream of mercy comes from Krishna. At that point, from inside, just like a small trickle of mercy comes from Krishna at that point, and that flow will protect us at that time. So that means ahankaram, false ego, where it is taking birth, it has to go back where it's come from. It's come from the soul, isn't it? It has come from the soul. False ego has come from the soul. It has to go back and it has to destroy itself there. And at that time, when it gets destroyed, from the same source comes a trickle of flow of Krishna's mercy at the same time. So, and that mercy, when it comes, it completely swallows our false ego, our mind, our ignorance, everything will be swallowed at that time. And not only that, birth, death even also will come to an end with that. Jnana vijaram. Jnana means this. Jnana is through vijaram, isn't it? Jnana, knowledge, is through vijaram, through thought power. And jnana vijaram and bhakti both stay at the same place inside. They are the same place inside. Because there are two roads you are coming and joining at the junction. It's like that. Through jnanam you come and you join the same junction where you come through bhakti and join at the same place. The junction is the same, where it happens, all that. So whether you come through jnana margam, whether you come through bhakti margam, this is the same thing. In bhakti process, what is the center point? Center point is ultimately complete surrender, isn't it? That's bhakti, atmanivedanam. Krishna calls it as, Prahlada says it as atmanivedanam, isn't it? Atmanivedanam. It means offering oneself to Krishna. Means offering your own false ego, and Krishna swallows that false ego inside. And in jnana margam, what is that? In jnana margam, it is that you're realizing that this thing called jivatma is not a truth. There is no such thing called jivatma. Jivatma doesn't exist. And what exists is, there's only one thing that exists, and that is Krishna. That is jnana margam. The same realization comes in a different way. Through bhakti margam, complete surrender. As we mentioned before, in bhakti, first you surrender and then you come to know the truth. In jnanam, you get to know the truth first and then you surrender. It's a slight difference in that way. But in reality, essence, it's of one and the same thing. What happens at that time? So, if it happens like that, after knowing that, and you sharanagati or surrender has happened, what is the symptom of that sharanagati? That is an important question. What's the symptom of that? Sharanagati. When sharanagati comes, immediately at that point, what will happen is, when sharanagati happens, immediately what will happen inside is an uninterrupted dhyanam, meditation of Krishna will happen. Meditation of Krishna will happen. I don't exist, only Krishna exists. That conviction will come from inside. This is all in the face of realizations, not through words. Words doesn't mean anything. Because as long as I think of my own existence, I am existing separately from Krishna, and that's only beneficial for vyavaharam in this world, for loka vyavaharam in this world. But when I realize that nothing is separated from Krishna through the jnanam process or through the bhakti process, what will happen? This body will become an instrument at that point. Simply it becomes an instrument. Because I don't exist anymore. Whatever Krishna does, it happens through this body. So it will remain as an instrument. Simply as an instrument then. That is why realized souls all know this very well. That their body is just an instrument for Krishna to operate within this world. Krishna will operate through their body in this world, whichever way they want him. Therefore, there won't be any more false ego inside them, and false ego cannot stand as a person anymore inside him anymore. And whatever that is there, it won't have any strength in him. But you will notice that even in that state, in the realized state, because they'll be doing still vyavaharam in this world, even after realizations, isn't it? They'll be doing, even then, it will not stay separately on its own, that false ego. False ego will not stand separately in its own. And not only that, kamam, krodham, dvesham, lust, anger, greed, and all kinds of things, they will not be there. And therefore, it won't do any harm to anybody in that state, in the realized state. When we say there is no false ego, means false ego as a personality won't be there. False ego as a personality won't be there. But because in vyavaharam there will be some presence of false ego. That is, till the body is there, it will be there. That you can't completely take it out. Even in the jivanmukti state, even in the liberated state, it will be there. But the difference is, because that false ego, they are not thinking independently as a personality like the way we think. Therefore, it won't do any, create any damage to them. That means ahankaram, means that ahankaram will not create any strong emotions like kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsayam, all different kinds of emotions which creates ragadvesham. They won't be there. So therefore, what will happen is that it will not cause any problem to anybody. And so, due to their identification with the that their separated existence has gone away from them, therefore they are properly matured due to their surrender inside that, and therefore that false ego won't have any strength inside. So and some, you may ask a question at that time, if that is the case, will that not create any sangalpam inside, any kinds of sangalpam inside? No, it won't. It won't create any sangalpam, because the surrender is so perfect that when things are happening, that person, although separately in a body, he knows that Krishna is working through the body. Anything that happens through that body is Krishna who is doing it, not him anymore. So, so once that has come, then you can't make any sangalpam anymore inside. So, so his approach will be, he will say to Krishna, keeping this body, you can do whatever you like with this body and with this mind. Whatever you like to do, you can do with this. And nothing anymore from me. I have nothing to offer. I have no desires also. And you can keep me wherever you like, in whatever situation you like. That is surrender. This very idea of making one's own arrangements is false ego in this world, in anything. To think that everything has to work according to our plan itself is a false ego. Devotee's acceptance is whatever position we has been put in, that accepting that and living that, that is a proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. Because sangalpam has to go from inside. What can have any sangalpam at that time? And yadyad bhavyam tattad bhavadu bhagavan purva karmanu karmani rupam. Who said this? This was spoken by Kulashekhara Alwar. Prabhupada mentions that also. You will see there that Kulashekhara Alwar, when he compiled Mukundamala, he mentions this thing there, that Nasta Dharmi, he mentions that नास्ताधर्मेन वसु निचयेम नैव कामो भवोगे यद्यद् भव्यं भवदु भगवन् पूर्वकर्मानुरूपं एदल् प्रार्थ्यं मम बहुमदं जन्म जन्मांतरेपि त्वल्पादाम्बोरुहयुगगदा निश्चला भक्तिरस्तु. This is a verse from Mukundamala. Saying here, नास्ताधर्मे वसु निचये नैव कामो भवोगे. Then, whatever through dharmam, by my religious principles and I follow, through that, if any happiness comes to me or sense gratification happens in this, let it come. But kamo bhavoge yad yad bhavyam bhavadu bhagavan purva karma anurupam. Then, according to my prarabdham, karmam, yad yad bhavyam bhavadu bhagavan purva karma anurupam. Let anything come to me according to my prarabdham. I am not concerned about that. Edal prarthyam mama bahumadam janma janmandarebi. But I have one prayer to you. Kulashekhara Alwar says to Krishna, I have one prayer to you. Mama vibho janma janmandarebi. Birth after birth. Tulpadam boruha yugagada nischala bhakti rastu. That I always stay in pure Krishna consciousness, always in the bhakti stage, always as a devotee. Tulpadambo riho yugagada nischala bhakti rastu. That's the only prayer I have. Let any prarabdham take me anywhere, whatever form it takes and whatever difficulties come. Similarly, whatever happiness comes also in this life, according to my religious principles, the way I live, let that happen. I don't care about that. But only prayer I have, he says, that tulpadambhoriham. That means always attached to Krishna's lotus feet. That is a symptom of surrender. That is surrender. He's saying, I'm not too bothered about what happens in this body or in the next body. More we surrender, there will be no more request to Krishna. That is the no more asking from Krishna. That is the symptom of surrender. If anything is, any desire is building, we don't have to ask.
But if even a thought comes inside, I wish Krishna had done this to me or any such desire, that means there's no surrender. There is still desire inside. Even to that extent, it has to be cleaned up inside. It has to be. Only then that nishchala bhakti rastu, that bhakti will happen inside. That's what he is saying here. So, sada, therefore, whichever way it has to happen, let it happen. That's what Krishna is saying in that verse. Sada tadbhava bhavidaha yamyam vabismaran bhavam tejatyande kalebaram tam namme vedikaundeya sada tadbhava bhavidaha. Sada tadbhava bhavida. That's what that means. Sada tadbhava bhavida. So, in this world, if we have meditated upon anything else, at the end, at the time of death, that will come inside us. Like in the case of Bharat Maharshi and others, Bharat Maharaj, we have talked about that. Similarly, if we have constantly kept Krishna in the heart all through the life, ultimately Krishna will come within the heart. So, they give the example in the Bhagavatam, Kamsa. Kamsa became a first-class devotee at one stage, isn't it? You know that. That Kamsa was always thinking about Krishna. Always. Not for a moment he has forgotten Krishna. That's why you'll see in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when talking about Kamsa, he mentions here, Ashina Samvishastishtan Bunjanam Paryadan Mahim, he says. That he could not even put one step in the friend, he will think about Krishna. Is Krishna there? The fear has built so strongly inside. Every moment, Kamsa was, if you look into Kamsavatam, you will see in the 10th canto, how he was, every moment of Kamsa monitored by Shuka Brahma, she mentions there, that how Kamsa was, he says he was like a sannyasi, Shuka Brahma, she says. Kamsa was like a sannyasi. I'll tell you that verse, what he mentions, why he says he's like a sannyasi. At the time when Kamsa had to leave the world, if you look into one, Kamsa also, at the time of death, he became very Krishna conscious, isn't he? He became very Krishna conscious. He was always thinking about Krishna all the time. He couldn't forget Krishna. He couldn't forget Krishna for a minute. And Kamsa was getting very disturbed that for a moment. He found that it was difficult for him to forget Krishna. There's a verse there that, when Krishna entered into the ring, of the Chanura and Mushtiya, they were commissioned by Kamsa to kill Krishna, and Krishna was and when Krishna and Balaram entered into that ring or the arena where they were going to fight, it mentions there that Mallanam Ashanirnaranam, if you look in the verse 43:17, Mallanam Ashanirnaranam Naravarastrinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Sujano Sadam Shidibujam Shasta Sobitro Shishu Mrityur Bojapade. Bojapade is Kamsa. For Kamsa, he was seeing Krishna as Yama, as Yamadharma Raja. Yama has come, he thought. Krishna, he saw, seeing Krishna as Yamadharma Raja. So, Mrityur Bojapade Virata Vidusham Tatvambaram Yoginam. Yogis were present in that ring. They were seeing Krishna as the Tattvam, Absolute Truth. Vrishninam Paradeva Dedivido Rangam Gadasagrajam. All the Vrishnis who were present there, they saw him as Paradevada, their worshipable deity in that way. So the thing is that Ashinam Samvishastishtan Paryadan Bunjanam Paryadan Mahim. That Kamsa could not sit in one place, Kamsa could not walk anywhere. Wherever he sat or walked, Punjanam Paryadan Mahim, on the earth, he was always finding it, remembering Krishna at that time. Chindayando Hrishikesho, always thinking about Krishna. That is what has happened to Kamsa. And when he left the body, he went back to the spiritual world because he thought about Krishna in that way. Same thing in the Ramayanam also, you will see. Marija says the same thing about Ramchandra. Marija says there that everywhere I look, I am only seeing Ramchandra, he says. Marija got so frightened about Ramchandra, he says, Vrukshe vrukshehi pashyami. Even when I look at the tree, I think Ramchandra is standing there, he says. Chirajina jatadharam grihita dhanusam ramam pashahastam jivantakam. That I see everywhere Ramchandra standing there with the bow and the arrow, ready to shoot the arrow on me, he says. So this thing both Kamsa had and also Marija had, it is called Samrambha Yoga. Samrambha Yoga means not thinking in a favorable way out of fear, but it is a yogam. It's a yoga process. Still it's a yoga process. It is Jnana Margam, Karma Margam or Bhakti Margam. It's called Samrambha Yoga. Kamsa and Marija, they both went back in that way, thinking about Krishna or thinking about Ramchandra at the time of death. They went back. So this is why either through hate or through fear or somehow or the other, important thing is what is known as anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means they pursuing that thought uninterruptedly throughout life. Throughout life it has to happen, anusandhanam. Then this will happen. That is what these verses are saying to us. So, in the Bhagavatam, there is another places it's mentioned, Yena Gena Pyuvayena Mana Krishna Niveshayat. It mentions like that. So, Nirandaram, that means continuously Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means that persuasion. That is the message. So, if we get that directly, constantly, that memory of Krishna means, if it is a Jnana Margam, knowing very well that inside Krishna is present there as Antaryami and surrendering there, or as a devotee surrendering to the same Antaryami, knowing very well that you can't do anything in this world, you are totally helpless about everything, and surrendering to that Antaryami through the bhakti process. Either way, if it is practiced throughout life, Krishna is saying here that this can happen at the time of death. That thoughts will come strong, very strongly. So, important thing is that anusandhanam. Anusandhanam is a word they use there, because anusandhanam means not one moment or 1 hour or 2 hours in a day, throughout the day and night, throughout life. If it is practiced, it will happen. That's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. If you look, you will see. Seventh verse. 8th chapter, 7th verse. therefore, Krishna starts with the words therefore. You can see. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu.
Mam anusmara yudhyacha.
Mam anusmara yudhyacha.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mama vaishisya samshaya.
Mame vaishisya samshaya.
Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu.
Mam anusmara yudhyacha.
Mam anusmara yudhyacha.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mama vaishisya samshaya.
Mama vaishisya samshaya.
Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu. It's a very important verse. And each word we have to understand properly. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu. Mam anusmara yudhya cha. Mai arpidam mano buddhi. Mam eveshyasi asamshaya. Krishna is saying. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. That's the translation, isn't it? So normally what we'll say after reading that verse, we'll say Sarveshu Kaleshu. Sarveshu Kaleshu means all time, Krishna is saying here, same time. You should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry the prescribed duty of fighting. So, Sarveshu Kaleshu, he says. This Sarveshu Kaleshu itself needs a lot of explanation what it means actually. Sarveshu Kaleshu, as I mentioned before, whenever Krishna says this word Tasmat, it means, you can take it, that Krishna has spoken about one particular topic and concluded it there. That's what that word Tasmad comes. In so many places in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna speaks about something and he says Tasmad, therefore. So that means that he has concluded one topic and he's going to conclude that in this verse. Sarveshu Kaleshu means what? Sarveshu Kaleshu means what? Sarveshu Kaleshu means now. Now. If you say now, means all time is included in now. I don't know whether you got that. Oh, past, present and future is all included in now. How is that? Not the next moment, but right now. And not the moment after that, but now. But now. In other words, you can see it like this. All time, how does it come to us first in our experience? First it comes to us now, isn't it? And then it becomes past. Or everything in the future also first comes as now in our mind first comes and then it becomes future. Is it not? So strictly speaking, Bhagavad Gita is concerned, past and future doesn't exist. Do you get that point? When we say something now, means past is already, it's coming in your mind, past is included in that because first it came inside you now, then it became past, isn't it? Future also, first it comes in the mind, then it becomes future. Suppose I say, now I'm planning for my future, we'll say. I'm planning for my future. I've taken my insurance or I've taken planning for the future. But where did it come first? Now. It came now. Similarly, any time any thought comes about the past, first it comes in me here first. In the thoughts it comes here now. Now it comes. It may have happened in the past, but the thoughts now it comes. So in Shastram, particularly in Bhagavad Gita, past and future has no meaning. Has no meaning. This is what Krishna is using that word, Sarveshu Kaleshu. Sarveshu Kaleshu means this. Right now, you have to be, it means all the time. All the time is now, isn't it? There is no time without now. Now is all the time. So when it is done now, right now, then it is sarveshu kaleshu. So everything becomes present moment. Past becomes present moment. Future also becomes present moment. Therefore, if you say like this, sarveshu kaleshu means, okay, I will remember Krishna tomorrow, or I will remember him tonight. If you say like that, that's not good. You have to remember now. Right now, you have to remember him. So in other words, every moment, at that particular moment, then you have to be in Krishna consciousness. You have to be in Krishna consciousness. That is why Atma Dhyanam and Sarveshu Kaleshu, then that what Krishna says will become truth. Which one? Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhya Cha, Krishna says. That Anusmaranam has to be Sarveshu Kaleshu. So you can see, if you give attention to this, time itself is some thought wave inside us, isn't it? It's a thought wave that makes us think that there's something happened in the past, something will happen in the future. These are all thought waves, it is. Nothing more than that. So, you can see one thing. If you look inwards, the only one thing that is the truth all the time is your own existence, awareness of your own existence. That's the only reality, isn't it? All times, that is the only thing which does not change. Even time is changing. Time you are thinking, oh, in the past it happened like this. What will happen in the future? This way, time also goes away like this. But once you look inwards, you can see there that the only thing that is permanent inside all the time is your existence, awareness of your own existence. That is the only important thing. So, in that, this is only a thought wave, this thing called time that comes in the middle of that. What does time, time mean? Where is this time? So, this whole chapter, Krishna is now going to talk about time in the remaining verses. He's going to talk about time. So, time, this thing what we call as time, when that thing comes in the mind as a wave in our awareness, these two things here. One is our awareness of our existence. I am existing. Avabodham, as it's called. Yeah, the avabodham, awareness. In that avabodham, when this wave of time comes and hits that, then past, present and future is born. Before that, there is no past, present, future. It's always present, in other words. It's always present. That state where we are now. When does it take birth, past and future? In our awareness, when this wave comes and hits from the mind, this thought wave of the time comes and hits the awareness, then at that time, only due to your awareness, past and future is born. Suppose awareness was not there. Time cannot create this past and future. It's due to awareness is giving birth to the past and future when this thought wave comes. That's where it happens. So at that time, Bhutam, that means past, future, bhavi, and that keeps coming and going. Past and future is coming and going. So, on the other hand, in the present state, present time, when the mind is working, past and future is coming and going. Past and future is coming and going. But in reality, you can see what really exists is only present. No past, no future either. Past or future doesn't exist. In the present, when the mind is moving, past is created or future is created. When it is touched by the mind, past is created or the future is created. We have discussed this before also, how this thing called time and space is born. Time takes birth like this. As far as Krishna is concerned, this time what we follow has no connections, isn't it? But you can also see that our time is different from the demigods' times. For them, our 6 months is one day for them. And again, demigod's time is different than Brahma's time. Brahma has got a much more longer day and night, isn't it? He has got a much more longer day and night. Demigods have got another day and night. We have got another day and night. So which one is the right day and night? How will you answer that? Whose day and night is the right one? This is in reference to this planet and to our, we created for our convenience some day and night. They create their, so practically what Krishna is saying here, that that in presence, when the mind starts movement, starts in the mind, past is created or future is created. It is created actually. Past is created, future is created. So if you want to experience something from the past, you can't experience now. You can't experience now. So suppose suppose you have done some mistake at say 12 o'clock today, 12 o'clock, and you can't correct it now. It has happened at 12 o'clock. Something what has happened. Because at that particular time what has happened, it had its own reactions and repercussions in this world. You can't undo it now. Similarly, time machine, time is imagining so many things. Time is creating a lot of imaginations inside. And in Maya, anything can happen. Maya, anything can happen. But none of them, if you look at it properly, you can see a practical purpose, it will not serve any of these things. For practical purposes. For example, you can see one thing. Mind creates the time. Without the help of the mind, you can't have the time. The soul awareness, he is eternal. If you tell him past, present and future, he won't understand the soul. Avbodham, awareness it is. But in that awareness, when the mind starts functioning, time is created. See? Time is created inside us when the mind starts working. If the mind doesn't work, there is no time there. Soul doesn't have time. Only mind has got the time. Soul doesn't have the time. Only when the mind starts functioning inside, we create time, we create past, we create future, we create other things as well. But important thing is present is always there. There's only present all the time. Isn't it? So you can see this also in Sushupti, deep sleep state, there is no time. Isn't it? There's no time in deep sleep. So only in the vacant state, Jagrat, vacant state, there is time. That's why time in the vacant state. And that time is coming as past and future. Like this, it comes as different waves inside the mind. In the vacant state, the time comes as waves as past and future. In the Sushupti state, there is no time. In the dream state also, it may be a different time even in the dream state. For example, suppose you had gone through so many experiences in life, 15, 20 years life. In dream state, the whole thing can be experienced in a few hours in the night. So how will you refer to time then? You probably have slept one night and you had a whole lot's life experience in the dream. So you'll say like that, isn't it? So future and the past, you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. So therefore, only thing what you can do is today, now, right now. So only in the present. Only in the present you can do anything. So that is why in this verse, what Krishna is saying here is that at this moment, what we should do, that verse is talking about. Right at this moment, what you should do. Therefore, he says, Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyaja mai arpita manobuddhir mam aveshyasi asamshaya. He says here that Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyaja. At this moment, you have to practice it and do it. What is that? Mai arpita manobuddhi. Both the mind as well as the intelligence, hand it over to me. Krishna says, Mayarpita Manobuddhi means hand over your mind and intelligence to me. Arpanam, Mayarpita Manobuddhi. Arpanam means what? Arpanam means, so suppose I have taken this book and put it there, that means I have offered the book to the deities. I offered the book to the deities. Similarly, if you keep your mind and intelligence in Krishna, that means you offered the mind and intelligence to Krishna. If you keep your mind and intelligence in Krishna, then that means you offered your mind and intelligence to Krishna. Through knowledge or through bhakti. Either way you can do that. Either through the knowledge or through the bhakti. Either through knowledge or through bhakti you can do that. So, only difference is, this is important. If you do it through, bhakti means bhavam, isn't it? Bhavatmikam, bhavatmakam. Through bhavam if you do it, it will be temporary. Where it will not be complete. That is why you have to put it through the jnanam. Through the process of knowledge, you have to put it. That you know very well. Something what you are convinced about yourself, you won't be able to move away from that. Is it not? Say anything in life, for example, you have got convinced yourself that that is the right thing to do. Then, under any circumstances, you will do that thing. But if there is something you have some doubts about that, or through bhavam, if you have come to that, when the bhavam, it will be only a temporary thing. This is why jnanam Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita so strongly. If the realizations has come through knowledge, you won't lose it. It will stay. But the possibility through bhavam means, you know what I'm saying, that I've started doing it, but not convinced inside. Somebody has told me to do it, I'm doing it. But I'm not convinced myself. If I'm convinced, then nobody need to tell me anymore about it. Listen, I'll do it automatically. Because that has become my nature then. Whereas if it happens through bhavam, bhavam means being others, due to others' encouragement or recommendations or whatever. You're doing something that is in the bhavam. And that bhavam is temporary. Always temporary. That's what Krishna is going to say here. That what you keep through bhavam, it will be temporary. It will never be complete. Through jnanam means that my mind and intelligence, everything is completely given to Antaryami. If I reach that stage, mind and intelligence, everything, it is already in the Antaryami. That realization I have to get from that. Just like from the ocean comes the waves, isn't it? The waves comes from the ocean. Similarly, the mind also, or the thought waves, mind is nothing but thought waves, or the brain, intelligence, everything is originating from the soul. Is originating from the soul. If I get that experience inside, then the problem is over. Isn't it? Atmanubhavam. It is called Atmanubhavam. In other words, to realize that mind, intelligence, everything is originating from the soul. Originating from the soul. So, it is only in the background of that living force, Atma, this mind and intelligence is working. They cannot work independently. That's the first understanding, isn't it? So, even if you imagine something, if the living force is not behind that, your imagination has no meaning. It cannot exist. Suppose you have imagined something. That very imagination is happening only because of the presence of the living force behind that. Isn't it? So, separately, it cannot exist. So, suppose you have taken a good feast and you are lying down in a room, in a deep sleep. You are in a deep sleep. And you are dreaming also in the middle of that. And in that dream state, it is possible that you are wandering around in a desert without food. Wandering around in the desert. You are wandering around. You just had a big feast and you have gone to sleep. But you are dreaming then. And in that dream, you could be wandering around in some desert, unable to get any food there. Similarly, this mind also is playing all this game lying in the lap of this Chaitanyam, living force. In the Atma's lap, the mind is lying there and is playing these games with us in the vacant state also. In the vacant states also. So, and is creating the trouble. And same thing with the brain also. It is only in the lap of the Chaitanyam or living force that he is creating all the trouble. Both the brain as well as the mind. So, when the brain and mind completely goes away, you can see that that perfection what you are looking for, that you already got it. You already got it. You see, the mind and brain are functioning now. We think everything is proper, isn't it? At that time, my mind is working properly, my brain is working properly. Actually, it is not. When they are working, it's a problem. It should not work. That's what is meant to happen. Then only the Atma can function. When the mind and we are thinking mind and brain is working, we put some instruments in test, mind is working okay, brain is working okay, we say everything is okay, everything is not okay. It's not okay, it is. So Krishna is saying to us that when the because they are working because of the presence of the soul inside. If the soul isn't there, they can't work. So actually the soul is okay, brain and mind is not okay. So that's they are causing the problem. That so this question is always there, that when the mind and the brain has gone away, at that time you will know that the perfection you are looking for is already there in the soul. It's already there in the soul. Perfection is there in the soul. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is, isn't it? So many people, when they go to see, Paul Brandon mentions this when he went to see Ramana Maharshi, mentions this, that that he was traveling from Chennai, and in the train, as a very organized person, in a book he was writing down all the questions what he wanted to ask. When he got there, he wrote down everything, a number of questions he wrote down. His friend who was taking him there, he was asking his friend, I don't have an answer for all these questions. The friend told him, you write down whatever you want to ask when you get there, and you go and ask him when you get there. So the friend whose friend was taking him, Paul Brandon, was going to see him. So when he got there, Paul Brandon says there, what happened was that as soon as I got there, I couldn't ask any questions because mind was not working, the brain was not working anymore. This is what happens. In the presence of Jnani, this will happen. Mind won't function anymore. Jnana, that's why you feel that shanti inside. In the presence of the Mahatmas, this will happen. That then he didn't ask any question. Then on the way back, he asked him, Paul Brandon, that why did you not ask questions? He says, I couldn't ask any questions because when I got there, there was no questions coming up. And I didn't even think about it, he said. That he had written down all the questions, he has forgotten about it. He couldn't even ask the questions, he said. So, so similarly, then nischalata, nischalata, remember that word? Salsangatve, nisangatvam, nisangatve, narmohatvam, narmohatve, nischalatatvam. That nischalata, that comes to the, comes inside. That is that shanti, what Krishna is talking about in the second chapter. So, when that shanti is inside, nobody wants to disturb that. We feel happy about that, isn't it? That is that shanti. And you will not ask anything. So, so then Paul Brandon says after that, in his book you will see, that I realize now, actually I was imprisoned by my own intelligence, he says. I was in the prison. You, at that time you will realize that this intelligence is actually a prison house. That's what is happening to all of us. When this is why very advanced souls in the realized persons, they don't believe in this question business. Asking questions and answering. It has no meaning in spiritual life. It has absolutely no meaning because you are imprisoned in the mind and the intelligence. And all you are doing is that if they are moving around, they create a lot of thought waves and you are pouring it out, these questions. And he knows very well, the realized personalities, they know very well that answering those is not going to solve the problem. Problem won't get solved with that. Problem won't get solved. There's a lot of things in a very subtle level in the Shastram, which we won't normally, they won't write these things in the books, but from their realizations and the way they instruct people, you can notice these things, that these things have no meaning about asking these questions. So he says there that he realized that it creates, he says, this is Paul Brendan's words, he says here, it creates its own problem, he says, this intelligence. It creates its own problem and becomes miserable by trying to solve them. This is spiritual realization. When we start seeing questions are coming up inside, instead of dealing with the question, if you start understanding that these questions, where are they coming from? And you start able to look at it that way and see that it's coming from a mind or from intelligence it's coming. And if I do not create problems, then I am stuck in that, I am unable to come out of it. And that is what normally this is all about. So when the mind and intelligence has become steady, Krishna calls it a steady intelligence, isn't it? Sthita prajnyada. Krishna mentioned that in the second chapter. That sthita prajnyam state is the solution, not answering question is the solution. Reaching that state of steady intelligence, Krishna calls it as sthita prajnyada. Sthita prajnyada means steady intelligence. That is the solution, and not answering question is the solution to the problem. Because he keeps moving, mind will bring many, many thoughts and it will create more and more problems. Once the mind and intelligence has become steady, at that time it will not create any more problems. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse, my arpita mano buddhi mam avesyashi asamshaya, he says. That's what that means. Do you know why Krishna is asking us to do that? So that don't keep on raising questions, he's saying. It won't solve the problem. Therefore, my arpita mano buddhir mam avesyashi asamshaya. Once you have done that, you are there, Krishna is saying. So, instead of answering questions, as I mentioned with Paul Brenton's case, that when we come to know where the problem is coming from, and that we are imprisoned in that, we are in that jail of mind and intelligence, if I escape from that, I have escaped from the problem. So, when Krishna says to us, my arpita mano buddhi, what do we normally understand from that? We think that, oh, my arpita mano, that means I have to always think about Krishna and make plans for how to execute my spiritual life. One side, intelligence will doing that. Mind will telling me, oh, no, that's no good. There's other plans I can make it for you. And making some other plans. So this plan making will go on throughout life. That's not my arpita mano buddhi. My arpita mano buddhi means that when you get freed from the influence of the mind and intelligence by offering that to Krishna, let Krishna decide what he wants to do with my mind and intelligence, handing over to him, that is mam avesyashi asamshaya. Which means, once you have handed it over, then you can't ask questions. Is it not? Once you hand over mind and intelligence to Krishna, then it is Krishna's mind and intelligence, not yours anymore. If you are still asking questions, you are not handed over. That's what it means. See that? That verse is important. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmarayudhyaja mai arpita mano buddhir mam avesyasya samshaya. That is what that verse is talking about. So, we'll stop there now. And